Now, thank you, Lord, our hearts are open. It's wide open this morning, Lord, to breathe and receive the word you've spoken. Thank you, Lord, for such a privilege this morning just to enter in your presence. And thank you also, Lord, for the theme of the day, that you make a promise, our failures is not final. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Again. Right, so this morning, that's a theme. Our failures is not final. You see, if we look at these two scriptures in the New Testament, the first one was where Jesus cursed the fig tree because it had no fruit. And secondly, in Luke 13:16, Jesus told this parable. He said, a man had a fig tree and that he's been planted in his vineyard for 3 years. And when he went to search, look for fruit, there was nothing. And he told the gardener to cut out this tree. And he said, but master, please, just give me one more year. And he wanted to just fertilize and loosen the ground. And let's see next year if it's not going to carry fruit. And I think that's where I want to start this morning, because God, as a gardener, wants to tend to our spiritual gardens as well, that we may be fruitful for his kingdom. Spiritual fertilizers are actually needed when you want a plant to grow. Isn't that true? Sometimes when you get the soil, you can just see it's dead, there's nothing, and there's so much weed, and so we've got weed in our lives that's bondages, and we need this fertilizer to get rid of this weeds as well. And then we find ourselves, maybe you sit here this morning and you find yourself in a season of barrenness and feeling a failure. And I especially think about our youth this morning, where I work in schools, I see it every day, that our youth don't believe in themselves anymore. They feel they're failures. And some of you might sit here because of your upbringing. It doesn't matter what. Maybe relationships, you know, you feel this morning, you feel barren, you feel hopeless. God wants to ensure you today that your failures are not final, but fertilizer. Say, failures is fertilizer. But now we need to remember that fertilizer stinks, eh? Have you opened that fertilizer like Kinsmas? That's got a very bad smell. But it's necessary to bring forth growth. And that's the same with us. You know, all our rejection, our pain, our shames, our guilt, our struggles, this bad, tough season we're going through now is also stopping growth in our life. But see, all this rejection, pain, difficulties wasn't for nothing. Because it's not for nothing, it's fertilizer. You see, all those difficult seasons you'll see in the message this morning is actually fertilizer for you to grow. But it's a decision that we have to take. Fertilizer to prepare each one of us to grow spiritually and bear fruit. You see, but during these hardships, I don't know if you've been there and you're in this tough season of your life. Man, this enemy called Satan is bombarding us with lies that you're not good enough and you're a failure, you're hopeless, nobody cares about you. But God wants to repeat that you're his children this morning and he cares, and that we are good enough, and that each one of us have a purpose in his will and his way. Say, I'm not an accident. You see, failure in this world, there's many of them, but know that in your failures you still have a purpose for God, as you will see. Like Joseph's seasons, there's a question. When you go during the seasons in life, there's two things that happens. It's either a test or it's a reward. You see, and God allows us sometimes to be tested so that he can develop and to prepare us for that new season, as he's done with Joseph. Every struggle and challenge you face is like a knife. I'm going to explain it like that this morning. You see, you can either take this knife by the handle or by the blade. You see, you grab it by the handle and it becomes a weapon and a tool. You grab it by the blade and you bleed to death. You see, most of my life, during my struggles, I've grabbed my knife by the blade. You see, since I was young, the enemy had a plan on my life. He wanted me killed. I was born with an incurable disease those years, rheumatic fever. And that destined me to die at the age of 16 because I had heart failure and I had a hole in my heart. And then God gave me a new heart. I have testified about that when I was 12 years old, but it didn't stop there. When I was 1.5 years old, I was locked up in the car, and the car started burning, and my mom got my sister out, but not me, almost burned to death. And that was there in, what's the place's name, Escort, and it was very small. It was in the farm areas. And then after that, 3.5, a huge Willys truck rode over me and crushed my back and my hip and everything. And see, I battled a bit with the knee. I had a scope a few weeks ago, and I almost died of that. You see, and that continues, and when God gave me a new heart, I turned my back on Him. I thought, this is now a season for me. Now I can grow. Now I can be. I won't be the rejected one, the one that's mocked, that had a skew eye because of the rheumatic fever. And see, most of my life I was holding on to this knife by its blade and slowly bleeding to death. And you know what? Satan didn't have to attack me. He didn't have to introduce me to alcohol, to handful of pills daily. He didn't have to. Because I was on a road of destruction myself. You see, I was crying out to God, why is life so difficult? Why you allow the struggles in my life? Why do I deserve this? Have you created me? Why? And that why ended up me putting my Z88, my police firearm against my head and pulled it 16 times, and God prevented 16 of the bullets to go off. You see, and while I was putting all this whys in the way of God's way, I was bleeding and the devil was happy. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're busy bleeding to death, and the devil don't have to spend any time bringing more trouble and struggles in your life. See, I was destroying myself because I had these bad seasons in my life, and I allowed this bad seasons to control my life. You see, the enemy didn't have any reason to attack me anymore. But see, God wants to come this morning. He wants to give you a new injection this morning and fertilize our future tonight, our failures tonight, with hope and not with hype, with a new level of faith, not failure, a new injection to fertilize our failures. Are you ready for this morning? Then let's do a prophetic action. Grab your knife by its handle and stop destroying yourself. You are not a failure. Say, failure is not final, but it's fertilizer. You see, in Genesis 15:20, we read about Joseph and his brothers, and he said the following to them. He says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. You see, with him as well, the devil will always come and tell you failure is final. God can use, as in Joseph's case, He can use your failures to fulfill His plan and to do good. And that's why Joseph told his brother, you meant it for evil. You tried to assassinate, to kill me by throwing me into a pit, sold me as a slave. I was rejected and I was a slave in Potiphar's house. And then after that, I was imprisoned. So he didn't have to be nice to them. Would we have been so nice to that person that placed us in prison? That sold us. Because Joseph focused on one thing. He didn't focus on the bad situation, on the failures. He didn't complain. He didn't blame. He knew it was not fair, but it was fertilizer for his spiritual life. You see, fertilizer is not something you put onto your salad and eat. You'll die. But if you put the fertilizer in the soil and the salad grows from it, you can eat it. Why? Because it goes through a process of maturity. Even the stink dissolves after a while. So there's a season for your failures to be changed into fertilizer. Because remember now, failure is only an event. It's not a person. Failure do not determine who you are, but what you are doing when you fail. And the question again, where did you grab the knife? You see, that feeling of failure is one thing. It's when you feel separated from the presence of God. You see, and King David had that. He had everything. He was the favorite, almost the blue eye of God. He had everything, but he failed when he had slept with another man's wife and then killed him as well. And he felt a failure. And guess what? God's presence wasn't there anymore. That's what it felt for him. You see, God wants to reward you this morning with His mercy and grace this morning. He wants to come. He wants you to be fertilized in a spiritual way this morning, that you can rise up as sons and daughters that can make an impact in His kingdom. You see, we need to be impactors, overcomers in His kingdom, not churchgoers. You see, the churches out there we need to reach. See, God promises us He never leaves us, even if our seasons change. Remember, God never changed with our seasons. He stays the same God. He's outside time. Because Ecclesiastes 3:1 said, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the sun and the heaven. Just like nature has got four seasons. I love this by Charles Spurgeon. He says, seasons change and we change, but the Lord abides evermore the same. And the streams of His love are as deep, as broad, as full as ever. You see, life is made out of season. And we can constantly read in the Bible. I'll give you a few scripts. I'm not going to read everything. In Genesis 8:22, you'll read about it. Psalm 35, Psalm 102 verse 13, Galatians 6:9, and 2 Timothy 4:2. Because each season serves a purpose. There's not one season that's better or more valuable than the other one. Joseph had four seasons in his life. And I want to symbolize that this morning, the four seasons, by the four different garments that he was enrobed with. You see, he had a season. The first season he had was a season of receiving an inheritance from his father, a blessing from his father, a beautiful, new, colorful coat that he enrobed him with. He was only 17. He had dreams and visions. And it was a good season. And he was enrobed with his garment by his dad. But this season didn't last long, like all the seasons in our lives as well. Only a short time. And then he entered into his next season when his brothers took him and threw him in a pit. And he was sold into his next season as a slave. And that brought him to the next season, which was a slave. He was sold, as I said, by his brothers. And then and this is not a beautiful garment, one of a slave. That's most probably one of the slaves that died, the old clothing, not washed, torn. And as with his good season, as with his father, this didn't last long as well. But the next season was even worse. You see, we need to remember one thing. Because we go through a good season, there comes a bad one, we await another good one. The next one can be worse than the one you're in now. You see, Potiphar's wife seduced him, tried everything in her power, and she torn his slave garment and falsely accused him. And he went into and he moved into his next season, which was his season of being imprisonment. We see there was a cycle of lies and deceit. His father lied to him to say that he's going to heir. Does his father know? And then she came and lied. So his life was full of it. And it was present in his life and in his garments until that bad cycle was broken and had the effect on his life that God wanted. You see, his season of imprisonment, he was then thrown into this prison. You can just imagine those prisons, those years, wasn't buildings. It was holes underneath. It was holes. It was old pits and stuff. And that's where it was dark. It was moist. It was wet. It was dirty. And he received then a garment of a prisoner, which I believe was worth. I think it was just something to cover him around his legs. They didn't have shirts, and they were tormented day after day. But he went from favorite slave to prisoner. You see, and then we see suddenly how God supernaturally lifted him out of this dark prison into the next season. And this season is the season, the garment of royalty. You see, Pharaoh said, "You shall be in charge of my house, and all my people are to obey your commands. Only with regard to the throne, I will be greater than you." So he was the second most powerful man in the world. You see, and he robed Joseph with his fourth garment, a garment of royalty, and appointed him as the second minister. Second to him. You see, God used the same Pharaoh government that placed him into prison to reward him as a minister. You see, we sometimes miss this. We miss this. I can imagine when David was laying there for days on his face after this whole thing with Bathsheba and with this child that she's going to bear and before God, and he thinks everything's over. He didn't see light. But God took him out of that again. And we'll get to at the end, how do we do that? So quickly, the four seasons received a beautiful color coat. His father blessed him. Secondly, a garment of a slave. Then the garment of a prisoner, and then a garment of royalty. The interesting fact is, this is quite a revelation to me, is that only in the two bad seasons, Joseph heard this word, and you can go and read it, in all four that seasons of his life, only when he was sold by his brothers, and when he was thrown in prison, you read the words, the Lord was with Joseph. It wasn't written when the father enrobed him, or when he was enrobed by the Pharaoh. But it's in this season of absolute pain, suffering, where we feel failure, that this God is with us as well. You see, that's something. Did you feel it? I had it where I was so out and down, I mean, that I didn't even think of God. I couldn't pray. I can't read the word. You see, and that's why God found it so necessary in this verse is to highlight that I am still here for you, Joseph. You see, my name is Jehovah Shabbat, the Lord that is there. My name is Emmanuel, God is with you. He's the same God who said, go out into the world, evangelize, make disciples of all nations and baptize them. You see, our seasons change. God's seasons doesn't change. You see, it's when we get to break point when God takes us to break through. You see, always remember when you're there where you feel you're hopeless, there's nothing. That's when breakthrough is at your door. You're in the porch of breakthrough. You see, God promises in Isaiah 43:2, when you pass, and put your name with it, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. The flames will not set you ablaze. You see, God is with us through heartbreak, through sickness, through trouble. He never leaves your sight. Maybe you experience that worst season of your life, and this doesn't make sense to you this morning. You find you in that pit of a prison of confusion. And you wonder how God allowed this and how God is going to get you out of this. I want to tell you something, that God's presence does not assure the absence of difficult times. I want to read it again. God's presence does not assure the absence of hard times. You see, God never promised that in His presence, our lives will be excluded from difficult times. No, He promised that His presence will empower us to overcome whatever comes our way. Say, whatever comes my way, Lord. Because it said in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Isaiah 41:9, he says, I brought you from the ends of the earth and called you from its farthest corners. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen and not rejected you. This is what you should listen to. Do not listen to the whispers of the enemy who you are. Do not listen to what people, maybe at work, maybe sometimes in church, is skinnering or gossiping about you. Don't believe that. Believe the words that God has left for us in His word. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will surely help you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. Jesus told Joseph, I am still with you. And that's the only reason why Joseph prospered through all four seasons of his life. He was able to do it. You see, his birthright was taken because his dad made him a promise. His birthright was taken, but he prospered as a slave. He was thrown into prison, but there he prospered as well. You see, are you prospering? Are you bearing fruit in the difficult times? You see, our blessings is not connected to our workplace, our bosses, our colleagues, our husbands, our wives, our family, something, our business, our ministry, but it's only with God. You see, these other things I just say, that's resources you need in your life. But God is the only source of power you need. You see, not your position, your status. Young people, forget those. We run for status. We run for position. We want to be the cool guys in school. That's not important. That does not connect you to the presence of God. You see, you need to stay with the presence of God by seeking His presence. And then you will prosper. You will prosper and you will prosper in the wilderness. You see, in the wilderness many times, Elijah, we saw it. Jesus Himself was led by the Spirit in the world. In the wilderness, there's great breakthroughs. You see, God is to Him nothing is impossible. He's the God of possible. You will prosper during your sickness, during your SASSA allowance. Man, prosper in every difficult season because God is with you through everything. Do not look at the size of your problem and try to use that as evidence that God has forsaken you. That's from the Satan. Do not tell God how big your situation, how big your troubles are, how big your sickness is. Take that to God and show your troubles, show your sickness, show everything how great your God is. Do not focus on that rejection, that mistreatment, that mishaps, that wrong choices you made in life as a sign that God has abandoned you. You see, the proof is that the Lord is with us. You'll see that in the scars of His hand. And I want to read a scripture to that. Isaiah 49:16. And it says, "Behold, I have carved, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me." So He promises you, your name is written in the palm of His hand as well. He will never forsake and never leave you. Never. We read in Genesis 42:18. "And on the third day, Joseph said to them," he's speaking to his brothers here, he said, "I fear God. So do this and you will live." What did he say do? Fear God. And this is what God wants to tell us next. Stay faithful to Him even when life feels not fair. Stay committed. Stay faithful to God even when life doesn't feel fair. See, when Joseph told his brother that he fears God, he did not mean being afraid like young people, like I'm feeling afraid of something, of an exam, and I've got this fear inside me. No, but this fear of not being in the presence of God, that's a different fear. I know Charles Spurgeon written one day, he was walking over the street, and for a moment, he felt as if he was thinking about something else, and he's in the middle of the street, busy street, he couldn't set foot anymore because the presence of God was not there. He couldn't feel it, and he had to pray. Joseph, he told his brothers, you know that I've got basically he's got the power to snap his finger and get them killed or thrown in prison. But he didn't do. Why? Because he feared God and he knew what his source was. And he knew all these failures he went through was only fertilizer to bring him where he is now. You see, so many Christians think they have a relationship with God. We come to church. We have the right words. We pray right. All those things we do, but it's not reverence. It's not pushing through. It's not that I want to break through. That's why many of us as Christians lack faith in difficult seasons, as there's no fire for God. You see, because we don't fear Him enough. If you fear Him enough, you will receive the fire. I promise you. We recognize these other people, these ones, they're always on fire when their prayers is answered, when their business is booming, when their expectations is met, when everything makes sense and life is easy. You'll see them at all the church gatherings. But where are they when they're in the worst of worst seasons of their lives? You see, God is busy raising up a generation now in the difficult times, not in the good times. Because He's raising up a generation of overcomers whose failures changed to fertilizer. A generation that fears God. A generation that fears God so that all our own fears can be consumed by His fire. You see, when His fire comes, all fears run away, disappear. It's like in darkness. There's not enough darkness in the universe to kill the light of one candle. You go and try it. One candle. Can't. When the light moves in, darkness flee. You see, the fear that consumes us so easy, that fear of death, that fear of failure, the fear I'm not good enough for my parents, the fear at school I don't have friends, I'm rejected, my fear of my marriage, of divorce, the fear of losing everything I have. I had at one stage, I was terrified for elevators for other reasons that I went through in the police. But if you fear the fear of God in you, the fear of God will consume all these little fears that the enemy is keeping us so busy. He's keeping us busy. And busy stands for bound under Satan's yoke. That's what it stands for. God doesn't want to remove fear. He just wants to replace it with his, because he knows when his fear moves in with his fire, other fears will disappear. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out all fear. See, Joseph feared God, and that's why he overcame the temptations and the flirtation from Potiphar's wife. He fled the temptation instead of flirting with it. See, every time we go through these temptations, through these difficult seasons, guess who's waiting for us there? The devil. Just to come with an offer. He's there to bring an offer to numb all this pain, to numb all these fears, to numb it with alcohol or drugs or pornography or even with money and success, and to be driving after success at the cost of our families. And he wants this to control you. How many excuses do we sometimes get from people who say, listen, I can't make it. I'm very busy. You know, I can't, if I don't work, I don't get paid. You see, when that temptation was offered to Joseph with Potiphar's wife, this was his words. So how could I do such a great evil and a sin against my God? You see, that's what we need to tell the temptations that's coming in our life. That how can I do such an evil thing against my God? You see, you need to understand that the struggle is not while you indulge in pornography, in all the things of life. That is not. Those things you do is called indulgence. Self-gratification. See, that's one thing that we battle as Christians. This self-gratification. If I'm not there at the church, if I'm not there with, if I didn't do this and I know God has spoken, I've always got a very good reason why not. You see, the enemy will come and offer you that affair. He will offer you that financial gain. He will offer you sometimes even that promotion. See, with the world it's a far that we do, we even had to speak to some men that had to relocate to Cape Town at the cost of his family to find a better job. And at the end, he couldn't take it because it was a wrong decision. Enemy will offer you that. He will tell you that it doesn't matter what you are going through. That God has abandoned you. Come, I'll give you something. I'll give you medicine. I'll give you something to numb this pain, to numb this fear in your life. But see, to God, and when you fear God, it matters to God what you are going through. But God, where are you? Hey, when I'm in this despair, where are you when I'm in this pain? Where are you? Right there where I was when they crucified my son on the cross next to you. You see, tell Satan, I will stay faithful even when life is not fair. You know, we must show the world that we stay loyal and have integrity. And even when we experience pain and go through troubled times, that's when we need to walk upright. That's when the world is watching us. He doesn't watch us. They envy us for when we have success, but they watch us when we go through trouble. And that's when we don't speak Jesus. That's why churches are running empty, because the people outside cannot see Jesus in the followers of the church. You see, I will say to sin, I will not allow my eyes to be deceived, to look at wicked things, to look at evil things. Even in times when other things doesn't work in my life. When do men and women and children, young people as well, nowadays pornography is a huge thing. It is actually a bigger problem at the moment that illegal drugs is in schools. When things are not working out for them, that makes them happy. But you see that same injection, fertilizing you can get from the Spirit that puts you on a higher high than ecstasy or pornography and all the things can ever put you in your life. Why could I say no? Because I fear the Lord. Say, I fear the Lord. I will not flirt with sin. I will run from it. You see, sometimes as Christians, we try and see how close can we get to temptation, but still go to heaven. Isn't that true? You see, you can't stand one foot in the world, another one with God. He's a very jealous God. He don't like the in-between. He doesn't like the meek. You know, low. I forgot the word. Hey? Lukewarm. We read of that in the Church of Laodicea in Revelation 3. You see, I will preserve and move forward. This is what the God wants us to say. Pressing through our difficult and hard seasons. Taking this place of break point, I can't go to take it to a place where I break through in the Spirit. You see, when we look at the previous generation, especially church, we look at them and say, wow, those people were traditional. Wow. I'm so glad I'm not in that church anymore, having hats and suits and ties. But you see, one thing those church had that we don't have now is the fear of God. It's the fear of God. You see, they feared God and they knew He was the only living God in heaven. They knew that you couldn't hide from God. You couldn't hide any sin from God. You see, in those times, in Joseph's time, he didn't have all the resources we have. That can help us through this troubled time. He didn't have an app on his phone. Or quickly a magazine that he can read. They had to seek their wisdom from God. You see, it's time that the church move into that sphere of fearing God so much that we spend time with Him as much as we can. And we leave the world behind. And we go there where we get onto the mountain to that intimate place, that altar of ours where we break through these things in our life. Because we keep ourselves so busy with the things of God and completely exclude the God of all those things. In Isaiah 11:12, it's written, the Spirit of the Lord will be with you. There's seven spheres of the Spirit there. One, to give you understanding, wisdom, insight. He will be powerful and He will know the fear of the Lord. You see, we need to understand something, that wisdom is birthed out of the seed of fear for God. We need to fear God, and that's when wisdom comes. You see, it doesn't come from our acts of service. That's important. That's important. It doesn't come from our connection to our status, to our companies, or how intelligent we are. There are many, many intelligent fools out there. And then we'll move from our failures to be fertilized by the Spirit. You see, without fear of God, you will have no integrity. Without fear of God, you will not have consistency in your spiritual life. You will always have excuses. You will always complain. You will always blame. Without the fear of God, you will lack spiritual maturity and holiness. And I've said it before, don't worry. Don't try and get the church fuller and fuller. Get those you've got to maturity. You see, you will lack the understanding of how great the work on the cross was for you and me. We will lack that. Somebody shouts, fear of the Lord. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who turn darkness to light and light to darkness, who replace bitter with sweet and sweet with bitter. What's happening in our country with the government, with everything at the moment? And I'm not here to throw something at them. I'm here just to speak the truth of God's word. Hasn't good become evil and evil become good? The minority of all nations is ruling governments to believe you can have an identity of anything you want. And that's one thing I'd never judge. I work in schools with this thing. I never judge. Never judge those people. You shower them with the love of Jesus. You shower them because that will bring the breakthrough. Not your words. They hate the world. Things have happened bad to them. They were raped as children. They were rejected over and over and over. There's no sense in life for them. Give them just love and love and understanding. You see, the old tradition of faith and the fear of God is not old school or out of sync. It still works for today. He's the same God, now and forever. You see, the real fear in God is like, it's not like taking paper and burn it in the fire, but it's like taking gold and silver and purify it by His flame. You see, His flame is powerful. There's mercy, there's love, there's power, there's authority. There is sanctification in his fire. But that fire, the burning element is not there. It's not like a worldly fire. You won't burn. You will just get propelled into new seasons of your life. When you have religion, you have legalism. But when you have holiness, you have reverence, deep respect and honor for God. You see, that fear of God ignites the fire that burns on our inside, that same fear that gave His Son to die on a cross for us. He's the only God that I know of in this world that loves unconditionally. Anyone. I mean, the robber on the cross never had any time to ask forgiveness for all the people. He may be raped, murdered, and robbed. He wasn't baptized. He didn't have time to say the sinner's prayer. There and then, when he acknowledged Jesus Christ, he was saved and he was with Jesus in the paradise. He's the God of mercy and unconditional love. He loves us, He loves Israel, but He loves Gaza and the Palestinians as well. But why do we seek so much shortcuts in our life? When it comes to spiritual, we want shortcuts, Lord. While God has a highway of holiness, Isaiah 35:8, this is what He says, and there will be a highway called the way of holiness. The unclean will not travel it, only those who walk in the way, and fools will not stray on it. You see, many of us like to take these little country, the sightseeing roads, taking this, let's see what's going on here, little sightseeing roads. And you know, roads of compromise, roads of destruction and dead ends is what we take. You see, that's shortcuts. That's where we flirt with temptation and sin. You see, some people you'll even get, they prophesy, man, at the speed of 350 kilometers per hour. Some have Bible degrees that a thermometer doesn't have. But it doesn't give you the fear of God. Those things is important for knowledge to have. But it doesn't give you the fear of God. It's only in that harder seasons where we will be fertilized and purified to holiness. You know, to go through a tree that you prune, to bring that about that fruit, it saw the tree cries. So yes, that times is going to be difficult. Without holiness, you will not be able to see God. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 7:21. Jesus say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will and way of my Father. So maybe this word, the word of God this morning makes you uncomfortable, maybe uneasy. I'm happy because I'd rather scare you into heaven than send you happy to hell. You see, if you take a shortcut on this country road, you're going to end up in a dead end. You're going to end up in spiritual death. Like Joseph, take the highway to holiness that leads to the palace of God, the throne room of God. That's where we want to be. Why do we want to go? And it's almost like going, people, you've got this beautiful meal waiting for you, and you go like, and you go eat millis, pick millis, somebody who knows. Say holiness. You see, Paul writes in Thessalonians, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Sanctification and purity. It's very important. That is good to be a Christian, but we need to be sanctified, to be drenched in the love of God, that we completely change, because it's only He, it's only the fear of God and His Spirit that can cleanse us. It's only spending time in the Word of God that can change your mind. See, God's will is found in God's way. Stay on the highway of holiness, and you'll stay in the righteousness of God. My grandfather, that was 102 before he died, at the age of 100, he visited schools with me, and at every school, he was leading children to the Lord. And his favorite verse was Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be given to you. You see, the nature of God is holiness. He's separated from wickedness. So sin and God cannot be in the same room. The only reason why Jesus died, the blood covers that sin when we repent it. God's fire is holy. We'll never become unholy. We'll never accommodate sin. Joseph didn't have a mentor. He doesn't have the Bible. He didn't have anybody that he was accountable to. He only had the fear of the Lord and to be in His presence. And that's that place, that sacred place God wants me and you to get, to realize that our failures can never be forever or final. See, God doesn't want to condemn us with His word this morning. He wants to wake us up this morning. God wants His church to wake up this morning, because in our bad scene, the enemy comes and he whispers all sorts of lies in our ears, and we believe it and we fall for temptation. We need to do what Joseph did. We need to flee from temptation. See, God wants us to stop using suffering as an excuse to slack in our holiness. See, God set His climb. His time, His clock is set 1 minute before 12. Believe me. You just look around you what happens in the world. Yes, it happened before in 67 and later again, 2013 war. But never wars like we've seen now. Only about one little country that makes no sense in the world. But you see, that place is where Jesus walked. That is where so many of our forefathers have experienced the presence and the fear of God. And God made certain promises. And He's got promises for you today as well. The time has come for us to stop conforming to this world, to try and change the world. We need to confirm, but we need to transform by renewing our minds, like Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. You see, and the only way you can do that, you need to spend time with the Father at the feet of Jesus. You need to spend time in His, the inheritance that He's given us, the testament. I mean, there will be something wrong if somebody phones you now and say, you've got a relative that died many years ago and I've got a testament that's only for you 300 pages. Are you going to listen? Of course I'm going to go there. Why don't I read my testament, an old and a new one? Thousands and thousands of wisdom and knowledge. Holiness means separation. It's like a toothbrush. Only one person. Who are you? Are you the one that's there at workplace, or where you sit with other people? Suddenly stops talking when a certain person comes in and you change the way you were speaking? Are you the one that's quickly closing your app on the phone or closing your computer or laptop when the wife or somebody walks in? Are you the one that shares with other people and gossip about other people? Sometimes even gossip by yourself, but you can't share with others. You see, that's when we lack the holiness. That's when we lack the fire of God. And that's when we're going to miss this opportunity to be enrobed. There's going to come a day where we will be enrobed in white of righteousness with Jesus. The Word promises us. You see, God wants me and you, like Joseph, to keep on serving other people's dreams, even if mine seems to be dead. He had no dream. He was in prison. But he still served the other people's dreams. Abraham prayed for barren women while his own wife was barren. Job prayed for his friends when he was broke and full of sores. The slave girl evangelized to Haman when she was still in slavery. And Jesus was evangelizing to the robber while hanging on the cross himself. You see, isn't that an act of service? You see, our pain and suffering is hard, in hard seasons is no excuse not to serve God. See, God wants us to move out of this pity, self-rejection, feeling not good enough. You know, to do that doesn't mean we can forget or not feel the pain. Of course, we're going to still feel the pain. That's part of growth. You see, the secret is to give not to give in to the power of your failures and your mistakes and wrong decisions you made. So that it traps you sometimes in your past and sometimes even in the present and you can't move forward. We still hold on to that person that we can't forgive, that's done this horrible thing. We can't move on. Those family member that owes me so much money. You see, we declare today, we will not be ruled by our pain. We will not be ruled by our trauma. We will not be ruled if life doesn't seem fair. Life is like tennis. When you serve well, you seldom lose. You see, there was this pastor. He was on his way. It's a story that I've seen and read. And he was in America somewhere. And on his way home, he saw this wreck in an accident on the highway. And he saw, but this is Pastor John's car. Wow, and he saw only a hand outside. And he jumped out. And as he ran there, they said, sorry, we're already at 20, 30 minutes. He's gone. There's no vitals. He's gone. He says, but listen, and he grabs his hand and he starts praying, serving. And he comes as a servant. He prays for him. And then he ran back to the ambulance people and said, come quickly. I'm sure there's life in him. They said, sir, there's no life. We're not going to. We just wait for the mortuary to fetch you. He said, please come. They want to leave. He went and laid in the middle of the highway. He said, you won't go. You go. And later on, just to give him, get into him, they went there and they found vitals. And this pastor, after 5-6 years in hospital recovering, he's preaching again today. That's what serving is. That's what serving is. You see, stop pity. Stop complaining. Stop blaming others. And realize that this things you are going through, God is with you. And this is your fertilizer. And nothing is final. Can everybody stand up for me, please? For a moment, just quiet your heart where you are there. And I just want to say this morning, this is a new season to move forwards to what is ahead of us. For he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. And everything in him is greater than what's behind us. You see, there's a new season that you're going to step into. And this season will be greater than the season that you're stepping from. What you are stepping into now is greater than your difficulties and pain and struggles you are going through at the moment or coming out of. Jesus did not save us to leave us. Jesus did not protect us to leave us in this mess. Lord, we shout this morning, no pity, no compromise. God, we tried to save ourselves out of trouble. It didn't work. We need you. We need your fear in our hearts this morning. You see, Joseph served one prisoner that connected him to his destiny of royalty. One prisoner. I have a word for some of you here today. The reason why you cannot escape or get out of the season of constant battling with the enemy and find victory is because your battle is against the curse of a family cycle, maybe. From great parents to parents to you, there is so many things that happened. But I see a vision of a Joseph that rise up and breaking the cycle. The cycle stops here and today with you breaking the chains and cutting off the head of the giant. Cut off the head of the giant of unforgiveness, that one of pity, of despair, of not believing in myself, of troubles, of compromising, whatever it can be. Breaking the cycle of poverty, of rejection, that trauma. Breaking the cycle of lying, of cheating, even distress, the depression and stress in your life this morning. The God of breakthrough is here. The one of overcomers. He wants to set us free. God is here with you. He's the God of victory. He's on your side. and He empowers you and know you can break the chains here today. Your failures has become fertilizer, and you will have breakthrough in your finances, have breakthroughs in your family. You will have breakthrough in your health, in your breakthrough in your marriage, breakthrough in your ministry. No more self-pity, no more compromise, Lord. I am the cycle breaker. I am the chain breaker. My breakthrough will break the cycle of stagnation, of limitation, deceit, and failure in my life, Lord. Isaiah 43, 15, 16, you promise, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. You are the one Lord who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. In Joshua 1, 9, you say, Lord, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for I, the Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41, 10, Lord, you say, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In Psalm 48, 14, for such is God. You are our God forever and ever. You will guide us until the death. Thank you, Father, for this promises in your word this morning. And Lord, we want to come and we want to declare and decree this morning, our failures cannot be final. Lord, that we stand at a place of break point, but we know we're in the porch of breakthrough. Lord, you are greater than anything. You are greater than even the creation that you created. Lord, you are the God of love. You are. You said that your son will die for our sins and he will set us free. Lord, I pray this morning in this house, there are people that need to be set free from so many things in life. Maybe lies, deceit, things that happened years ago that nobody knows about. Lord, that dark areas of our life, that cracks in our life where it's so dark, Lord, that your light cannot shine. But I'm asking this morning, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit and fire to bring light into their lives this morning. Shine into this crack. Bring your light and let darkness flee this morning. Lord, I come and I pray protection over this church. Lord, I pray especially for the word temptation and sin, that we will not entertain temptation in our life, but we will flee from it. Lord, you come and you bless this church, Lord. You bless this ministry abundantly. Lord, you've showed us years ago that the 10 pence is going to be stretched. You're going to even stretch this 10 pence more, Lord. I can see this church going to start forming smaller churches around. Lord, but because you are in control. But today we need to do one thing. We need sanctification. We need to be holy enough to come in your presence. Because your word says, who will come onto the mountain of the Lord? He who is clean of hands and pure of heart. Purify our hearts at your fire this morning. Lord, we want to lay down that sin. Maybe there's somebody this morning here, and I just want to ask while everybody hands it, is there somebody that's not sure that you have salvation? Is there somebody this morning that says, I need Jesus in my life? Just lift up your hand and I can pray for you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. I just want to come and pray this morning, Lord Jesus, for the hands that you've seen. Lord, it's like that robber on the cross. They acknowledge this morning they need Jesus. And Jesus, we come this morning, we acknowledge you for your death on the cross, but also for your resurrection, also for your ascension to heaven, where you sit in the right hand of the Father. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done, even for those hands, that they will come this morning and that they will repent, not of the sins they've done, but of the sin of never repenting, that sin of Adam and Eve, to say, Jesus, I need you in my life forever. And Holy Spirit, that you will follow those people home and spend time with them. And each one here today, many of us have flaws. There's not a Christian that can say this morning, I don't sin, I don't fall for temptation. Lord, that we will quiet our hearts in this day to come that place of perfect purification and holiness. That day when you will enrobe us in white, when we will be with you between heaven and earth, to come back to rule for 1,000 years on earth. What an amazing day. But Lord, we ask your mercy. There's so many that don't know about you this morning. We pray for them. We pray for those people who haven't accepted Jesus. Use this ministry to go out, to make disciples, to baptize. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.